Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we are reading from 5th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19, entitled The Island of Jambudvip, text 8. Suram Asuram Vaapim Atam Vam Anaraham Naraha Sarva Atmanam Yaham Sukrita Gyam Uttamam Bhajetam Ramam Manuja Akritim Harim Yaham Uttaran Anayat Koshalan Ayodhyam Divam Vaikuntam Iti. I'm reading word by word. Okay. Suro suro vapyatava naranara. Suro suro vapyatava naranara. Sarvatmanaya sukritagyam uttamam. Sarvatmanaya sukritagyam uttamam. Bhaje tarama manuja kritim harim. Bhaje tarama manuja kritim harim. Ya utaran anayat koshalam dvivam mitim. Ya utaran anayat koshalam dvivam mitim. Suro suro vapyatava naro naraham. Sarvatmaya sukritagyam uttamam. Bhaje tarama manuja kritim harim. Ya uttaram anayat koshalan vivamitim. Suro suro vapyata vanaro nara. Sarvatmaya. Pajetarama manajakritim harim. Yautarama nanyatko shalam vimati. Bolo. Mataji. Suraham, demigod. Asura, demon. Vaapi, or. Atha, therefore. Va, or. Anaraham, other than a human being, bird, beast, animal, and so on. Naraha, a human being. Sarvatmanam, wholeheartedly. Yaham, who? Sukritagyam, easily made grateful. Uttamam, most highly elevated. Bhajetam, should worship. Ramam, Lord Ramachandra. Manujakritim, appearing as a human being. Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yaha, who? Uttaran, of northern India. Anayat, brought back. Koshalan, the inhabitants of Koshala Desha. Ayodhya. Divam, to the spiritual world. Vaikuntha. Iti, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or a creature other than man, such as a beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for He accepts even a small service offered by His devotee. Thus, He is satisfied. And as soon as He is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. Purport. Lord Sri Ramachandra is so kind and merciful to His devotees that He is very easily satisfied by a little service rendered by anyone, human or not. This is the special advantage of worshipping Lord Ramachandra, and there is the same advantage in worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra, in the matter of Kshatriyas, sometimes showed their mercy by killing asuras. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awarded love of God without difficulty, even to the asuras. All the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but especially Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and later Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, delivered many of the living entities present before them. Indeed, almost all of them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore represented in the sixth armed form of the Sadbhuj Murti, which is a combination of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Sadbhuj Murti in the form of the Lord with six arms. Two arms of the Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna, and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Braya Krishna Vrishta Bhutale Shumate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravan Prachadni Nirvishesha Shunivari Paschati Rashi Dharina Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadari Shri Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation. Again, therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or a creature other than man, such as a beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for He accepts even a small service offered by His devotee. Thus He is satisfied, and as soon as He is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. So in the sequence of the verses, as we were hearing, we hear the description of Lord Ramachandra and glorification of Lord Ramachandra in his particular display of mercy towards his devotees, which whenever definitely the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears is the case, as we are hearing now again in the purport given by Srila Prabhupada. So Lord Ramachandra appears only for that particular purpose, actually, to deliver the mercy and shower the mercy towards his devotees. And not just to his devotees, that it has been mentioned here, but also to the demons as well. So, the whole idea of this particular verse is that everybody should worship Lord Ramachandra. We know that that worshipping tendency is very strong within each and every living being. Everybody has that natural, inbuilt, inherent tendency to worship. To worship, whether, as we know, materially anyway, maybe some star or some whatever, sports star, any kind of star, fallen star, shooting star, any kind of star, it doesn't matter. So tendency is there, or people want to worship them themselves. It just doesn't matter, but the tendency is absolutely there. So unless we recognize the ultimate worshipable object, we'll definitely never be satisfied and happy. Therefore, in this verse, it is pointed out that Lord Ramachandra is the ultimate Supreme Personality who should actually be worshipped. Because then only, as it is mentioned again, the devotee or the worshipper will become satisfied. There is no other way that someone can become satisfied in this material life unless he takes to the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Exclusively because we are talking here about Lord Ramachandra, therefore Lord Ramachandra has been mentioned that his worship should be performed and no any other worship. Because he is the most merciful personality. So no matter, here there is no distinction given in terms of only human beings, because they're on the level of that particular consciousness that they can perform different kind of worship. You know that even other living entities are included within that particular category of having an opportunity to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead as well, which is very interesting. If you read Purana, sometimes you will come across different stories where actually even some particular animals are involved in particular type of worship, unknowingly. Well, Agyata Sukriti, this is what is mentioned. So everybody is worshipping. Like Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, everyone follows my path, O Arjuna. Everybody. So whether knowingly or unknowingly, it just doesn't matter. That's not the point. But everyone follows Krishna's path. So everyone essentially, again, worships Lord Krishna, knowingly or unknowingly, but with different motivation, and therefore the results are different. So there are many different interesting stories. It just comes to my mind. There was that very famous that we point out, that we narrate during the Kartik Lila, about the mouse which pushed the Givik because it was afraid of being in the dark, fearing that the cat will come. So just but that because of that fear, he pushed the Givik, and the Givik started burning. So that small act of devotion was taken by the Lord in such a magnified manner that particular mouse became a great princess and a great devotee of the Lord. And then many birds, like there was one pigeon, I have so many pigeons here, hopefully not anymore. They will also get benefit. They will hear anyway, even behind the net. Not necessary. They have to come very close to the altar. There was one pigeon running from the hawk. And he was running in such a manner that somehow or other he circumambulated the temple 3 times and attained the liberation. So small, small acts of devotion actually are described as a very potent method for achieving spiritual original identity or liberation itself. So therefore we can conclude that Lord Ramachandra is definitely very, very merciful as well, because Krishna takes any little thing, any little service. We can't even imagine how actually he is pleased than when we perform any little devotional service, how Krishna becomes pleased. But what is the problem? Actually, what is the real thing? What is the real difficulty that we encounter in our devotional life is that, yes, we do very little service. Even if we do very little kind of amount of service towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we please Krishna by that, but then simultaneously we commit so many offenses, and then we also degrade our consciousness, and we degrade our position in terms of relationship with Krishna, because Krishna then becomes again displeased. So very little thing is sufficient to please Krishna. That's what Krishna says, patram pushpam phalam toyam. It's meant to point out that even, you know, leaf, even water, it just doesn't matter what it is. Even small, little, so to say, insignificant kind of thing. But if it's over with the devotion, it will be very pleased. So any little thing if you do, like in case of Lord Ramachandra, little service, that squirrel, we know it was throwing little specks of sand into the ocean. It doesn't matter. But if it's done with the devotion, with the desire to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is taking this in such a magnanimous way, because he recognizes that inherent deep propensity of the living entity to essentially reunite with him in any particular relationship that that particular living entity is having. So Krishna is so pleased. But then what do? We try to light a fire and then simultaneously we pour some water on it, creating big smoke, which only pains the eyes and chokes the throat. So this is what we unfortunately do in our devotional life. We have such a great advantage to live together, like for example in the ashram, or when we, in the temple, when devotees, even congregational devotees, when everybody comes together, we have such a wonderful opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you read the shastras, it is incredible. As I said, just a little act of devotion, how powerful it is. Like we are hearing recently Kumbh Mela and different kinds of festivals, even from the point of Karma Kanda view, when people hear that just by taking bath you can be liberated from all the sins. And then sometimes we still wonder how come, you know, we are still trapped in this material world and we have to suffer all the miseries, material miseries, because we commit sinful activities in the manner of criticizing, in the manner of offending different devotees. So this is that water that we are pouring on the fire that we are trying to lit. So Krishna is very pleased, but simultaneously becomes displeased when we inappropriately act towards each other. So that's such an amazing test that we have to go through, that we have to overcome. Like in the pastime of Lord Ramachandra, Sri Ramanujacharya, when he gave his Mahaprasadam to the fish and the fish became liberated. And everyone of his disciples saw that. And then they wondered, we took so much of the Mahaprasadam, how come we didn't become liberated? The Ramanujacharya explained, this is because of the offenses that you're committing also. It's because you're still, you know, you're not acting appropriately towards each other. So this is the reason why we are here still in the material world. Of course, we understand that we have prarabdha karma, which has to be ultimately extinguished. And with that prarabdha karma, still we have particular opportunity to attain perfection. And until we achieve that particular perfection, we are still bound to this material existence. So until this is the case, then we'll definitely have to remain in this material world. But the whole idea here presented is that we have to take that devotional service very seriously. We shouldn't be very casual about it. And there is nothing actually that can justify any particular material contamination that we might be having in the mind of thinking about some particular result or thinking of some particular position and then considering that this is the only way actually that I can become finally liberated or perfected. We usually have that great misconception that we think first I have to become, you know, bhakta leader or this and that, or I have to become then maybe, you know, some kind of head of this or head of that, or then I have to become temple president, and then I have to become guru, and then I have to become GBC, and then only I will become a human being. This is absolute misconception. And then in the course of that particular, so to say, progress, we commit so many different kinds of offenses towards others. So this is not the process that is described in Bhagavad Gita. The process is to become pure, to become loving, to be kind, to be compassionate. Of course, you can be compassionate only towards those who are inferior to you, not to those who are superior. But the whole idea is to develop all the good qualities and engage them in the service of Krishna. But to relate through the process of relating to each other in the most wonderful manner. To be kind, to be loving. That's very difficult. It's not easy. It's a great challenge. So unless this is the case, then we'll definitely have to struggle here. And still wonder, you know, how come we are trapped in this material world. So any little devotional service will please the Supreme Person. But again, if you're not careful, if you're very casual, and we still try to fulfill some of the misconceptions, material misconceptions that we are holding, being influenced either by external material circumstances or whatever we have brought from our previous conditioning into the Krishna consciousness, then we'll still have to somehow or other pay the price for this. Because everybody, while coming in Krishna consciousness, brings his own extra unnecessary baggage. Absolutely everyone. We are all conditioned. Unless somebody is of course born in a devotional family, in a devotional environment. But everybody else have been influenced and impressed with so many horrible different kinds of impressions from the previous to devotional life. So previous that kind of life that we bring into Krishna consciousness, and therefore we judge everything according to that. We think this is experience that I have and everything has to be made or modeled according to that particular conception that I might be having. And then if that is not met, then therefore we sometimes and most often actually commit offenses. Because we try to model everything according to that as well. So this is a very dangerous situation. So we have to be ready. We have to become meek and humble and ready to accept that process given and emphasized in terms of relating towards each other especially, and being ready to sacrifice, being ready to serve each other, that this is actually the real path through which we can become liberated from this horrible material existence. So it's not easy. It's definitely not easy to give up so many, as I said, different misconceptions that we are carrying. Even the one in devotional life that we consider that we can trample anybody and everybody just to achieve some kind of material gain actually, even in the devotional life as such. So these are our obstacles, these are our traps in devotional service that we have to be very aware of and be very cautious of. Because then any devotional service that we do will just be sufficient. Why we are not progressing? Why we're chanting 16 rounds, we are hearing Bhagavatam, we are worshipping the deities, and how come we still don't have so much taste for Krishna consciousness? I'm speaking about myself. Because we definitely commit so many offenses that we have to be aware of. So that is one very wonderful opportunity also that, you know, by hearing such a verse, that we remind ourselves of it and therefore become more loving, more kind, more considerate. That's what we have to remind ourselves over and over and over and over. And this is the only way that actually we can progress in the devotional life. Because Lord is pleased, is definitely very pleased. As I said, in so many different scriptures, particularly Puranas, you will find how even a small acts of devotion, they're so pleasing. Like if a small child brings anything to the father, he doesn't have to do that. But just expresses just a small, simple act of offering any particular gift or anything that he might even receive from the father itself, the father will be so grateful. He'll be so pleased. So in a similar way, we just acknowledge that we have received something from the Lord and we return it back. We actually try to please Him in this way. And it won't be very difficult. Immediately He will reciprocate very lovingly towards us. So this is what here has been described, that especially Lord Ramachandra, of course in any other form, the Lord becomes very pleased if He is offered anything with a devotion. So here in the verse itself it's also pointed out that there is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for He accepts even the small service offered by His devotee. So very often you will find big babas and sadhus, especially if you go to Kumbh Mela, and they like to display a lot of different kinds of signs of renunciation and austerity. But that's not necessary. Krishna even, once I was Kurma Prabhu from Australia, so Prabhupada disciple, was pretty famous for writing that Kurma cooking book. So he had a problem, he had some injury in his toe, his foot, and he couldn't do the Govardhan Parikram, he couldn't walk around. So he hired a rickshaw and me and one more devotee accompanied him. And he actually said that, you know, we can try to struggle somewhere or other, we can be in the pain and perform devotional service, but this is not something that is pleasing to Krishna. He said, if I would be in the pain now, feeling that pain from being injured and trying to walk around and somehow or other thinking that I have to complete it at any cost, that Krishna won't be very pleased. So Krishna is not pleased to see devotee in the pain. So then what is the... It's not the point of just performing some kind of austerity in spite of whatever our condition is, but the point is to please Krishna. That's the ultimate measuring rod, so to say, to understand how to advance in devotional life, to please Krishna. So it's not just the austerity or the renunciation that is the most effective method to advance. No, it's how to please Krishna. So therefore, even a small amount of any particular devotional act, it's just sufficient. Again, of course, if we don't perform any kind of offenses towards the devotees. So, as the Lord is satisfied, therefore automatically the devotee will be satisfied as well. So when we please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we can understand how we will be also pleased ourselves, how we will be happy. Many times devotees ask, you know, how do we know that we are advancing in the spiritual life? What is the... How do we understand? How do we know? So we will just understand, we will be blissful. I remember one class, Radhanath Maharaj, she mentioned that sometimes devotees are very gloomy, dark, you know, like very, like, look very miserable, depressed. He said that immediately you can understand that something is wrong, that those devotees don't have taste for Krishna consciousness, and that they are not performing devotional life in the proper manner. that there has to be some immediate action taken so that devotee can be actually saved, because very soon that devotee won't be a devotee anymore. So he said, therefore the whole idea was that we must find the cause for that kind of state and immediately rectify it. But when you see somebody who is jolly, doesn't matter in which kind of situation, even though it might be a difficult situation or austere situation or whatever, and in spite of Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma Nashochatina Kangshat, in spite of any kind of circumstance, that somebody is always cheerful and ready to perform devotional service at any cost, then you understand this person has a taste for spiritual life, for the devotional service, and that person is really advanced. So when we have a taste, when we have that joyful nature, when we develop that in Krishna consciousness, then we can understand that that person is really advanced in devotional life. So no matter what the position is, like Jayananda Prabhu, I've been just reading a little bit the book of Giriraj Maharaj, Many Moons. Jayananda Prabhu had been described as such a glorious personality. Srila Prabhupada was very pleased with his devotional service because he didn't consider what kind of devotional service that is, of what kind of level. It just didn't matter. He was ready to do and perform any kind of menial service. And he would never hear any kind of criticism of anyone. He would just walk away from that particular place, no matter what a devotee might have done or anybody might have done. Therefore, Prabhupada said that even we should celebrate his disappearance day as the day of disappearance of any of the acharyas. He was very pleased with his devotional service. So this is the most wonderful example that actually points out what kind of attitude we should have in the devotional life. And therefore, any kind of service, no matter how great or small it is, but if it's performed with such kind of an attitude, it will enable us to definitely get that taste of spiritual life. And we'll always be blissful. We'll feel that bliss. Not that the bliss is goal, but the bliss is just inherent. It is automatically there when we please Krishna. So then naturally we will be also pleased. So any small act performed in such kind of a manner definitely will be the most fruitful. So here, therefore in the text itself, it said that indeed Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead. Because they were all very exalted devotees. Just to have an association of the Lord is a very exalted thing. And they were all qualified to return definitely to the spiritual world. They were already residents of the spiritual world. Of course, just the manifested on our earthly plane. So maybe someone may wonder, somebody may pose the question, then why did they criticize? Why did they criticize Sita? Why did they found a fault in Lord Ramachandra also when he accepted Sita back, like that particular washerman? Of course, there were some exceptions, some cases, and that washerman became who in his next life? Who knows? Anybody knows? That washerman who was criticizing Lord Ramachandra when he went out incognito and hearing what people are, you know, saying about his reign, about his, you know, activities as a king. So that washerman was criticizing him for accepting Sita back. So who was that washerman in his next appearance? Huh? Again a washerman? No, no. Huh? What? Taylor. Close, but not really. Actually it was, sorry. I'm wrong. Apologies. Yeah, he was a tailor. He was not really a tailor, but he had a cloth of Kamsa. Actually washerman, I'm sorry, yeah. Just okay. However you want to call it, yes. So he was the one who didn't give the clothes to Krishna. When Krishna asked him to deliver to him and Balaram when they were entering Mathura. So therefore Krishna just chopped off his head. So there were few exceptions, but except from that, actually all of the residents of the Ayodhya had turned back to their original spiritual abode. So here also, that particular merciful nature has been pointed out to be present not just in Lord Ramachandra, of course, any particular incarnation, any particular form of the Lord is the most merciful. But here Srila Prabhupada points out that especially in the form of Sadbhuj, manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where Lord Chaitanya manifested the form of Lord Ramachandra, of Krishna in his own, in a six-armed form. And that particular Sadbhuj form have been displayed in front of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had the most wonderful fortune to witness such kind of a form. And that form is still worshipable. It is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It still exists in the Jagannath temple, in the Jagannath Puri. So who knows what the Sadbhuj form is holding, which kind of weapons or articles. What are two hands of Krishna holding, what are two hands of Ramachandra holding, and what are two hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding? Who knows? Anybody knows? As Ramachandra, what is he holding? Bow and arrow. Okay. As Lord Krishna? Flute. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Kamandalu and Danda. Okay. So this is said, Prabhupada said actually here, that the best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Sadbhuj Murti, which embodies, I mean, of course, every murti, but this murti particularly displays Krishna and Rama and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all together. So the form of the Lord with six arms, the two arms of Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna, and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore, is the most merciful incarnation of the Lord, because in this age, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, he doesn't kill the demons. We know, of course, that he kills the demonic mentality. But sometimes devotees, when, you know, it's not like Krishna or Ramachandra, that he relieves them from that particular body. But sometimes devotees also encounter different kind of demonic personalities in their preaching. We have example here, in the Hare Krishna land, when Srila Prabhupada had to fight for this particular land, that at some point he was praying to Lord Nrsimhadev to take care of this particular demon. So yes, devotees were, and definitely Lord Nrsimhadev responded very quickly. So yes, devotees are also very merciful, actually even more merciful than the Lord, because Krishna in Bhagavad Gita points out not to disturb the demons, but devotees will go everywhere and spread the glories of the Lord, not considering that particular injunction. But still, sometimes we find that there are some demons that actually it's impossible to deal with in another way, but somehow or other to pray Krishna to at least remove them for some time from some particular situation. So we also, whenever we encounter somebody who is presenting some kind of obstacle on our devotional path, then there's no other means but to pray somehow or other that, you know, that obstacle should be removed so that we can perform devotional service for the benefit of others. So the mercy, there are different conception of the mercy. So sometimes it's not just that mercy means giving, you know, all the confidential or even any kind of information about devotional life to anyone and everyone undiscriminately. But sometimes even some particular, like physical action should be also taken. And there is no, unfortunately, if there is no other way or other means, then that is also merciful on the part of the either devotee or somebody who acts on the behalf of the devotee. Because then that person won't commit offenses towards the devotees. Like we know, if we present Krishna consciousness and someone keeps on blaspheming more and more and we don't do anything about it, at least if we don't walk away and we allow that person to keep on blaspheming even more and more and more, we are actually allowing that person to degrade himself more and more and more. So therefore, we should at least walk away. Not just that we become contaminated by hearing, but at least that person will at some point or other stop blaspheming. Because the more he does that, the more he will degrade himself. The more he'll have to suffer, of course, for that kind of offense towards a devotee. So here the main point has been expressed that Lord Ramachandra is definitely very merciful, and then he accepts any kind, any small amount of devotional service very seriously, but that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in this particular age, it's also very merciful. And then if we follow in his footsteps and preach the way he had preached, then we will also very soon attain his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Mukesh Prabhu.
Perfection of life includes the perfection of health or not?
You already asked that once.
Huh?
You already asked that once.
No.
You did, I remember.
First time.
No, I remember. And I think you asked me also. No, it's not perfection of health. Devotee doesn't care whether he's healthy or not. He'll definitely take care of the body, but that's not his priority. Because body is something that has been given to a devotee by Krishna, so he takes care of it. But it's not necessary that the health should be the priority of his, you know, spiritual devotional life. But we don't neglect it. We don't neglect it, but it's not the priority. Priority is to please Krishna. That's the highest devotional consideration. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, Lord Ramachandra and Lord Krishna Chandra, they are same personality of Godhead. And Lord Ramachandra took all of the people from Ayodhya to Vaikuntha. But among them, suppose, you know, some wanted to go only to Goloka Vrindavana. So would Ramachandra, fulfill their desire?
Well, there was the case of the sages of Naimisharanya. When they saw Lord Ramachandra, they were very attracted. So he didn't take them to Ayodhya. He told them, you will appear in your next... Whenever you appear next, you will appear as a gopis in Vrindavan. So he didn't take them to Ayodhya. He told them, you will appear in Vrindavan, your real desire as such will be fulfilled there. So he didn't take them to Ayodhya.
That means even after going to Vaikuntha, still they can wait for the, another yuga when Krishna comes, and then they will be able to go to Vrindavan, perhaps.
Yeah.
Then Prabhu, Hare Krishna, I have a small comment about friends here, you see. He was asking whether taking care of health is perfection. Is that what he meant?
It's not perfection. Okay, depends now what you define perfection, but in general, what does it mean perfection?
Yeah, what I am trying to say is, if you take care of the health perfectly, only for the soul, purpose of doing devotional service. That means, but not for sense gratification. Still, I think
even that is an extreme kind of case. Taking care of the body perfectly. It's impossible to take care of body perfectly. Then how many considerations you will have to take in account? I don't have to do this, I can't do this, I can't live here, I can't eat this. Just imagine if every devotee will think, I have my own diet, I have to cook for myself, and I have to do this, it'll be chaos. It's impossible to be perfect in taking care of the health. So sometimes you have to, just be, to think of some higher principle,
Prabhuji, you were mentioning that example of Kurma Prabhu going on riksha to complete, and you mentioned that austerities may not please Krishna, that paining yourself.
That's what he said. He said that Krishna doesn't like to see devotee in a pain.
when we see example of Srila Prabhupada, when the governor of Uttar Pradesh was going to meet him, come to Vrindavan temple before inauguration, and Prabhupada was already high on fever, and then he came out half an hour in sun, he sat with him and had prasadam, and when he went back, so it was 104. So then it's like Prabhupada then fully
Prabhupada right. Didn't do that for himself. Prabhupada, again, like as this verse is saying, displayed his merciful nature towards others and for others, not for himself. But what we do when we do Govardhan Parikram, why we are doing it? Of course, should have the ideally to please Krishna. But if you're not in the condition to please Krishna, then you know.
So like how to draw a line that what austerities I should take on and what I should avoid. Some clearer understanding, because Tapodivyam, it is so heavily recommended that the tapasya has to be performed. And in our conditioned state, 99.99% out of 100, we will be in a state where we want to please ourselves only, but still the tapasya element has to be there, otherwise how? So how to understand clearly this?
I don't know. It's sometimes common sense. Like Prabhupada was said, use your intelligence. Be strict towards yourself, lenient, meek towards the others. And mostly when it's not usually something for our own, whatever conception we might be having about our own kind of spiritual benefit. But if you sacrifice for others, then... But again, even that has a limit. Because if we are still not perfected and we absolutely sacrifice for someone else, then again, it's not the best course of action. So, again, depends. There might be variety of situations where, you just have to use your intelligence, how to act appropriately. So it's difficult. Depends on situation. But it's wonderful. If you sacrifice for others in spite of your bodily condition, it's the most glorious. Yeah. Especially in terms of devotional service, helping others to become devotees. But sometimes you have to see, sometimes if you sacrifice once, you won't be able to sacrifice many more times in the future. So then you have to be a little, considerate. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.